So anyway, let's turn to James 1, 23 through 25. I had a teacher a long time ago that taught this to me and to other men also. And he said, guys, this is a litmus test. So let's play close attention to this, because it's pretty neat. And what will come out will be a blessing out of it, okay? So verses 23 through 25 in James 1. Everyone there? So I'm going to go ahead and read 23 and 24 and 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Amen. So let's go back and go through over 23 and 24. And it starts out, if anyone is what? And what? Yeah, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. Okay. He is what? He is like what? Yeah. Yeah. It says he is like a man. I don't know what translation you have, but my translation says he is like a man. And that's very, very important. Okay. And who does what? Of course, you already said it. He looks at his natural face in a mirror. Okay. And what takes place next? After looking at himself, okay, he immediately what? Forgets what kind of person he was. So we see here, so the question is what kind of man is he? Is he a Christian? Is he a non-Christian? We're talking about Christians here. This is written to Christians. Yeah. So we're talking about Christians. So what kind of man would you think he is? His flesh, this kind of man is his flesh is still in control of his spirit. Yeah, he's carnal. His flesh is still in control of his spirit. Okay. Then we go on in verse 25, what we read. The other looks at what? Okay. The perfect law or liberty. Well, the law, of course, is the word. This written here from cover to cover. Yeah. What? I'm sorry, say it again. And continues in it. That's very, very important. Yeah. So he's, we find out he looks at the perfect law of the word or word. He looked at the law or word. It's the same translation, law or word. So how does he look at it? Like what you just said, Jim, your translation, mine says intently. That's what my version says, intently. So what law does he look at? Okay, what is the law of liberty? Yeah, it is. In fact, go to John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Look what Jesus was saying here. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. And that's what the law of liberty is. All right? It'll set you free. It's the law of grace. And what happens to this guy? What happens next? No, before that. He's something he does. He's looked at the law intently. Yeah, he's a doer, but he's something the word says that he does what? Yeah. He abides by it. That he abides by what he has just found in the law of liberty. He lives by it. Okay? Isn't that what the word says? And it goes on, it says, not becoming what? A forgetful hearer, but a effectual doer of the word. Do we have any type of an example in the word of God that tells us about this? And you know, and there's a blessing also at the end of it. He is blessed in what he does. How about Acts 10, 4 through 1? We have an example. You guys will, you'll know this as soon as we read it. Acts 10, 1 through 4. Did I go the other way? I do that sometimes. I'm a forgetful reader. Do you remember this guy? Yeah. Cornelius? Yeah, remember him? Well, look what happens. This is the example right here. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion who was of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God how? Always, continually. Yeah. So he was this type of man. After learning from the Jewish religion, he believed in God, feared God, and practiced those things that were taught him. And he continually prayed, and he continually given alms to the Jewish people, to the Jews. It goes on in verse 3, and about the ninth hour, and this is what happens because of it, about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God, blessed in everything that he does. That's what we were talking about, this man here back in James. He's blessed in what he does. And that's what we're looking at right here with Cornelius. He's a great example. I think it's said, I remember reading or hearing that Cornelius, what's that, when you convert to as Judaism, he converted to Judaism. Did somebody hear this, or it was just me? Didn't President Trump and his wife also do the same thing? No. Did you hear that? His daughter. Okay, I knew one of them did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Send some cookies, Drew. Oh, bacon. So back to James. Okay. The last part of James, we know that this man is blessed in everything that he does. So what kind of a man is he by what we just read? Knowing that the other man was controlled by his flesh, this man here is controlled by his spirit. Just the opposite of what the other man was. Jesus says this in Matthew 10, 38. So if you'll turn over there to Matthew 10. 10:38. I'll find it in a minute. Here we go. Close. 15:31. All right. Verse 38. And Jesus was teaching his disciples, you know the story as soon as we start reading it. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And notice nothing else is said about it. That's it. That's the end of story. Not worthy of Jesus. Okay. But if we go on through 39 through 42, we see this beautiful and wonderful encouragement from the Lord. It says, He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And it goes on in verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In 42. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Isn't that very encouraging? I mean, that is super encouraging from our Lord. I mean, you can't get any more encouragement than that. But the thing I wanted to point out that Jesus said back in 38, if you don't take up your cross and follow him, then there's no, then it's just the end of it. It's, you're just not worthy of Jesus at all. So, any questions so far or any comments? Okay, on we go. So, what's the purpose of personal discipline? That's the title of our tonight's study, is Christian discipline. So, what's the purpose of personal discipline? As we just read these things. So in the letter, Paul writes to Timothy. So if you'll turn over to Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy, thank you. First Timothy 4:7-8. Have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness or holiness, the same thing. In verse 8, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness or holiness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So what purpose does it have? What purpose does personal discipline, Christian discipline, have? Yeah. What we just read, the purpose was for what? Holiness. Yeah, that. Yeah, exactly right. So what has little profit? What does it say? What has little profit? Bodily discipline. It has. That's why you do exercises. But it, little profit comes. You know, it's bodily, and godliness and holiness is better than that. But godliness is profitable for what? What does it say? What does it say about godliness being profitable? For all things. Okay? Yeah. Godliness holds promises when? Yeah. So the life that we are now living and walking right now, it has these promises. And we're going to look at some of them here in just a little bit. But it holds promises for the believers. All right? We get a look at something Timothy disciplined himself in 1 Timothy 5:23. So just turn the page over. It says, Paul's writing here to Timothy, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. So what has that got to do with holiness and godliness? What does that have to do with it? I mean, here Timothy seems to have some type of a physical problem, and he's doing something about it. Yeah. He evidently, the water helped him. Yeah, helped him. But Paul here tells him, take a little wine for your stomach. You're having these frequent ailments. 1 Timothy 5:23. Want to go back? So we see Timothy disciplining himself in this matter. And, you know, one thing that a lot of us will do who are in ministries, we don't want to let our bodies, our physical bodies, stop us from carrying out our duties as Christians in the body of Christ. And we will somehow find a way to do something to ease these ailments so we can keep the ministry going. Go ahead. Only feelings. It's pretty incredible. And I think we all went through that at a period of time in our lives. I agree wholeheartedly with you. Yeah. But When you're in ministry and in service with the Lord, you want to keep yourself spiritually, physically strong. And these things that the body is going to go through are going to go through it. We know that. As something you probably all notice is when you age, the more frequent things start to happen. When you're younger, you just rush right on through them. You know, unless they really do disable you. But we want to keep our bodies and our spirit strong all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Stay away from the fried ice cream. After five. But godliness is profitable for all things. And holiness is the same thing. And holiness holds promises. And for this life now that we're on this earth and in this body. Now, you're probably thinking, well, I don't really need to do this because as soon as Jesus comes back, I'm going to be just like him. Right? Well, the promise is that you will have the promises that are written in this word in this life now in the flesh. That's what we read back in 1 Timothy 1:8. It's for now and for the life to come. For this life and the life to come. So we see this in Timothy and how he took care of himself, being a young man and with stomach problems. So all discipline must have purpose. Without it, there is no direction. Do you agree with that? Without discipline, it has a purpose in our lives, and it has direction. And without it, without either one of them, our walk in Christ comes to uncertainty. We go through that, and it's drudgery. We're dragging our heels when it comes to things to do in the body of Christ. And that's just the way it comes, but there's no direction, no purpose in one's life. So how many disciplines can you come up with from the Bible that might, but just think about it for a second, okay? And let me run this by you real quick. Personal and private Bible study. How about that? Our pastor is very strong in this for us. He teaches, talks to us about it quite frequently. He has mentioned time and time again, and he has provided us with tools to keep us in the Word and keep us in the Bible. He has, remember the card, I think I still have it here in my Bible, about reading through the Bible within a year. You can do that as an individual, or as a husband and wife, son and daughter, or as a group. That can be done that way, correct? So the pastor has provided us with that, okay? These are the tools, like reading through the Bible, memory verses, our daily bread, and how important it is to spend personal time alone with the Lord. And that is very, very vital in our walk, in our discipline. So what's the purpose of Bible study? The Word tells us that there is a purpose. Yeah. Yes. 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 All the above. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Okay? That's the purpose of Bible study. So have you come up? Have you been thinking about other Christian disciplines that are very, very vital in our lives other than Bible study or spending time alone with the Lord? How about prayer? Do you guys struggle with prayer, or are we praying continually? Or do you have to force this body to make it go to the Lord in prayer? Yeah. I do too. Yeah. Because doesn't want to spend that time. Doesn't want, you know, it's more important. I got more important things to do than this, Lord. And it should be the other way around. How about fasting? How about serving? And we do a lot of that here. We serve one another and we serve our community and things. Worship is another. These are all Christian disciplines. Stewardship. How about evangelism? Meditation. How about you? Well, like what we just talked about, you and the Lord alone in His Word. I can, brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how important that is. How close that you'll be drawn to the Lord once you start doing that. Spending time with Him just by yourself. Get His Word, read it, and if you come across something and you don't understand it, ask Him. He's faithful. He'll reveal the truth to you. He's done it time and time again for many of us. That alone is so important. But what about seeking the kingdom and His righteousness? How about renewing our minds? Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. You guys know this by heart. Yeah, that's the only way it can be done. There, right here, between here and here, is where my biggest struggle is. Between my mind and my heart. If I would listen to this more often, I would be just fine. But I don't. I let this thing get in the way. And I always sometimes wonder, Lord, am I interfering with your will? I've asked myself that time and time again. Anyway, 12, 1 and 2 in Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of what? Worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we can do what? So we can do something. What is it? So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we want to be about this. And the only way I can renew my mind, if I spend time in this and get my mind and Jesus' mind on the same wavelength. And he's already said that we have the mind of Christ, right? He's told us that. Do we believe it? I struggle in that area. I'm always going, Lord, how come I'm thinking that and you're not? So let's look at some promises because of discipline. Go ahead. Yeah. Every thought. Yeah. We're going to get to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that one. Not only that, but a couple other items too on our body. So anyway. But let's check out just a few promises here. There's promise in the Word of God. How about Psalms 37, 9 through 11? Psalms 37. And while you're going by Proverbs, throw a finger in there. Yeah, 9 through 11. Will you read that, Jim? Yeah. Yeah, isn't that a wonderful promise? Yeah. And what's the discipline there? What are the disciplines? About humbling? Wait on the Lord. Yeah. Patience. Be humble. Yeah. And know that these things are going to take place. You're going to be looking for the evil one and he's gone totally. Won't be found anymore. Like I said, throw a finger in Proverbs and we'll go back to Proverbs 19:23. Here's a real good discipline for us. The fear of the Lord leads to what? Yeah, what life? Yeah, the life that we're in right now and the one coming. Yeah, you bet. So that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. So there is a wonderful and beautiful discipline, the fear of the Lord, and see what the promise is that happens there. Fearing the Lord. Remember what we read about Cornelius? He feared God. Yeah, he feared God. Okay, just turn the page here and look at 22, 3 and 4. Very important here too. Very, very important. You know, the Word of God is greater than pure gold. It really is. Much more valuable. 3 and 4. The prudent sees evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Again, life. Do you guys see that? The reward of humility. Got wheels turning out there. Any questions or comments on that? Yeah. So these are and the Bible is just full of these promises for us. If we keep ourselves disciplined. So what's the hardest discipline that you and I go through? I see everybody's pointing at their mouth, at their tongue. Yeah. James 3, 8 through 12. Let's go back to James. Hebrew, James. This is the hardest discipline for any of us. Oh, yeah, me too. And I'm glad I'm following you too. No. 3, 8 through 12, James. Mikey, you want to read that one? Amen. So the tongue cannot cause certain things. So So it's pretty interesting. But it's the hardest discipline for all of us to control this thing, this mouth, this tongue. What about others? How about our eyes? Are we in control of our eyes? Yes, we are. They're my eyes. They've been given to me. I can control them. I can control what it sees and everything that's out in front of me. You do have the ability to turn away. Exactly right. How about your ears? You have the ability. They're given to you. Yeah. You don't have to stand. You don't have to listen to things. You don't have to let those things come into your spirit, into your body. All right, back to Proverbs. I hope you kept your finger there. I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 10, 19 through 21. Speaking about the lips. Be 10, 19. Yeah, 19 through 21. Proverbs 10, 19. When there are many words, what happens? Transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is what? The tongue of the righteous is a what? Choice silver. Yeah. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Yeah. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous do what? Yeah. Feed many. But fools die for lack of understanding. Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah, sure does. That's what we just read in Proverbs, how so many words, something happens because of it. All right. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for what we have received tonight, Father. I pray, and my ears are glad, Father, of what I just heard. I thank you for that. Father, I ask that you bless each and every one of us tonight and the rest of this holiday season, Father. It seems like there's so much turmoil going on in the world these days, Father. It's just increased and increased and increased. And it does become troublesome. But you have told us in your word, Lord, that the days have troubles of their own. And not to be part of it. And I thank you for that, Lord. But I thank you for what we have just received. Teach us, Father. Teach us to discipline. How to discipline ourselves correctly. According to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.